Hello, hello. I wanted to quick say a couple of things. I want to thank the people that are helping us get these messages out all over the world. And our mission is to share biblical truth and expose error. There's a lot of error going on, and today we're going to continue that. And then we need encouragement to stay on the narrow path. Broad is the way the enemy is working today, and we're going to expose some of those things. But I just wanted to thank everybody and let everyone know we are viewer supported. And if you're a viewer, we would sure love your support. That's all I'll say. I don't like even saying that, but it's sometimes people think you don't have any needs if you don't say anything. So thank you. Okay, at Matthew 7, let's just start there. We've got a lot to cover here today. We're going to talk about a few things. In Matthew 7, in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." How many?
Many.
"Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life." And how many?
Few.
Few that there be that find it. So here the wide road has many people on it, and the narrow path has few on it. If you're on that narrow path, be thankful. And we haven't gotten on that narrow path because we're perfect, or that we haven't made mistakes, or we haven't been deceived, but our heart is to follow truth, right? So beware, it says in verse 15. So who's going to be on these broad paths? Verse 15 tells you. The false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, and inwardly they are ravening wolves. How are you going to know them? By their fruits. And then it says, verse 17, "Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." And one of the evil fruits, I think, that is on this broad path, besides deception, is things are done in the dark. Things are done in secret. Everything is secret. Everything is secret. And you don't know who's running things and what's going on. But with the Lord, he does everything in the light. Everything, you're an open book. Even if you've made mistakes or whatever, we confess our sins. He's faithful, right? We're not trying to be perfect, but we want to have good fruits. And it says, "By our fruits you shall know them." Verse 20, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" Just because someone prophesies doesn't mean they're of the Lord. There's many false prophets that have the word of men or the word of the enemy in their mouths, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." It's always a God card. God said, God said. We used to do that back when I was in a lot of these things, and we'd always say, "Oh, God said." Everything was God said. "Oh, I felt the Lord told me this." That was just how we talked. Rinse and repeat. Let's get rid of that. So, "Have we not prophesied thy name, and in thy name have we cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." So we'll keep that. We'll kind of probably come back to that verse. But in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." Here Jesus was being led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted 40 days and nights, and he was hungry. And the devil tempted him to take these stones and make them into bread. And this is what he's always trying to do. Give a sign. Give us a sign. Let's follow signs. And he said, "No, man's going to live by bread alone and every word that comes out of the mouth of God." And this is the other thing. We're living in a day where everybody wants to have a word, not in the Bible, but apart from the Lord. And here we're going to talk about that tonight. A lot of things that are happening in the body of Christ, unity, so-called revival, all the different things that are happening, which I've been waiting for this big move, because I've been teaching since 2016 about the one world religion, and I've been waiting for them to make a big move. and we're seeing some movement now. But when you know what's happening, because God wants us to know the warning signs, when you know you aren't deceived, you don't fall into the ditch, right? You don't follow. And I want to share some testimonies of some of the ditches I felt in the so-called revivals I followed. And I was at ground zero, let me tell you, ground zero of some of this. And we just live long enough and we learn some things, right? And that's the problem. They want all the old people to go away and just the young people, because then the young people don't have that seasoning and all the mistakes we've made that we can help them. So if you've got grandparents or parents that know the Lord and they've been through some of these things, listen to them. Thank God for people that have wisdom and are older. Now, the apostles and the prophets of today contradict Scripture. They reinterpret it. They add to it. They subtract from it. They preach their own dreams and visions as thus saith the Lord. And if you're taking notes, write this down because this is really important. They have transferred authority from God's word to themselves. So these false prophets, now they're leading you to them, what they say, away from the Bible, to them. So they've transferred authority through this new apostolic reformation was a big part of it. But as far as I know, way back to William Branham, Brother Hagin, all of these, we started looking to men. And I've had to repent of that. I don't know if you've had, but I followed men. I had a lot of these people that were in these movements that were my friends. And we look to them. We look to the authority of what they say. And even going into these revivals that we were in 94, we started looking for signs. We started looking for the laughter, the joy, different things. And let me tell you, this was a powerful force. This wasn't just a little nothing movement. This thing went around the world. And we've come out of it and we've learned some things. So hopefully we'll share some of that tonight. But they've transferred authority from God's word to themselves, to these false prophets, which are what? On the broad path. So they have new fresh revelation and trips to heaven. I'm going to share just something to kind of lighten you up a little bit here about the more fake heavenly news here from our pink-haired charismatic prophetess. She says, we will be able to transform into cartoon characters in heaven. She says there are play areas that you can change to be smaller, you can be larger, you can become a cartoon, and then you can be in the cartoon. Wow. And who says? She said because she went to heaven. Yeah, right. Right. So taking the authority away from the Bible and onto what these people say heaven looks like. And you laugh at that, but there's a lot of people that follow this woman. She says in the amusement park, you can travel different ways. You can travel like in a bubble. And then she said, you know, it's heaven, so anything can happen there. She talks of accessing the body parts, room in heaven. Every floor of heaven has a different smell. One level, she says, smells like pumpkin pie. And where cows drive around on tractors. On and on and on she goes. She talks of dinosaur parks and angels having pets and that the angels bring their pets to earth with them. And there's a Jell-O city and you can eat the mailboxes. Oh, wow, that's important. You think these people are, I mean, really? She said she met Jesus and he's 6 feet tall and very handsome. Now, Jeremiah 23:21 says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. So if you're one that's given over to this, there was a guy back in the 90s that wrote a book on heaven, and I actually preached on it. And I was so excited that someone came, until I realized that this stuff was, if John didn't tell us more about the heaven, we're not to know it. And so these people come and go as, boy, as the sun shines, I guess. So this is the other thing. They seal all this stuff with God told me, God showed me. And then if you come against or question it, or you even ask questions now, you're coming against the anointing. or you're going to miss this move of God, or you're not hungry enough, or it's always something to shame you because you're trying to judge righteously. And they always say, God can't bless you if you don't follow us or listen to us. The guy that I followed has so-called seven visitations from the Lord. Jesus appeared to him seven times, and I believed it. I preached it for years. And then when I came out of this and realized that every time he had a vision, it changed the word of God, I was just like, no, that vision was not from the Lord. That was something else. And some of this stuff is seducing spirits. I don't know what to call it, but when I was in this so-called laughing revival, I was invited by Joyce. Yes, Lee Joyce was one of my best friends for 15 so years. And I was right in the middle of all this and wanted to bring it back to my mega church, which I did. It took me 10 years to get out of this. This is the thing now that a lot of people don't realize. When you get into some of this stuff, it takes a while to come out of it because everybody's endorsing it. Everybody thinks it's God. And then when I started seeing the Kundalini spirit and how they acted just like that in Hindu and different things, I was just like, that's the same spirit that's in these meetings. Yeah. It freaked me out. And I'm sure it's freaked out a lot of people. But the good news is you can come back. I've come back, and now I'm exposing the things that I was into because we all thought it was God. We didn't want to miss God. And then my biggest fear was I wouldn't be in what God was doing. And that God's always doing a new thing, and I always want to be in that new thing. Well, that's a kind of a zeal without knowledge because we were always following the next thing. Who has it? Who's got it? And I sure wanted to have it. And that's why I say there's a lot of sincere people that are trying to follow the Lord that are being seduced and deceived by false prophets and false teachers. We don't blame the young, naive people. It's the leaders. But then on the other hand, we have to know our Bibles to know. You know, and they'd say scripture, so whenever they said a scripture, it seemed like that was right to me. And it's a lot to learn. And then we all wrote our songs about it. I have 5 CDs. They're done, okay? Some people said, can we have, I'm done now. Because there's word of faith in there, and then there's waves of glory, waves of great songs. I mean, we wrote them all, and we loved it. We were innocent. But that's that terminology again. It's like, oh, a wave. What's a wave? That's a charismatic term for your, you know, all these different things. Along with these movements comes new terminology. So this is the great transfer. It's no longer scriptures. Now you're having experiences. And we got to have an experience. You got to have an encounter. Your show, you got to have a show. It's almost like you feel like you've got to really be, to be a pastor nowadays, you got to have the smoke, the lights, the music, everything, and entertainment, and tell stories. And the people that I know, we want to hear the Bible. We want to hear what the Lord is saying. We're done with the show and the circus. Been there, done that, had the popcorn, had the cotton candy. So we're seeing this great transfer happening, and it has to happen because the Mystery Babylon and the Harlot Church is forming, and we have to not be a part of it. Okay, so the greatest threat to the church arises from within. How do they arise? Just like it says here in Matthew, false teachers, the wolves in sheep's clothing. And all of this is the false light. The false light, the angel or the devil comes as an angel of light. So we have to discern. And discerning ministries now are getting really, and you have to be careful that you're not just, you know, attacking everything and everything's evil and everything. So you got to keep a good heart to open up yourself to really hear from the Lord too, because he does talk to us. He does, but we get into pride when we think we're in this move. We're in the move and you're not. We've got it. You don't. Our church has it. Yours doesn't. So here comes a division. And then comes the pride, because you have something no one else has. And then comes all this division. I mean, it's just, are you in? Are you out? Where are you? And then all of a sudden, all your friends are divided. And this is what I see happening again on the horizon of this, is more division, more things to fight about. I've just gotten to the point, you want to believe that? That's fine. I'm not going to fight with you. You believe what you want. Because there was a time when I was in these moves of God, especially in this laughing thing. Boy, I would fight you because I thought it was God. And I would just lay my life down for what I thought was God. And that's what we all do. We fight for deception is what it was. So how does the devil distract us? One of the things is, and I've led worship for 30 years, prayer meetings for over 30 years, and one of the things I always knew back even in the day is that we have to watch out that we don't worship our worship. We start worshiping the worship and not the Lord. And transferring authority away from the Bible and always saying God's doing a new thing. They take that scripture out of Isaiah 43:19 out of context, and I used to do it too, and say, God's doing a new thing, and I want to be on that new thing. Doesn't matter. I mean, doesn't matter if it's in the Bible or not, because these prophets are telling, and if this guy is for it and this one, and they're all on TV and they're all promoting it, it's got to be God. You don't realize how big the deception is. When I started coming out of this stuff and seeing all that was involved and how long these mystery things have been, mystery schools and all this stuff, the enemy wants the inroads into the church. The biggest threat is a believer. He's got everyone else. So you're the threat, and he wants to get you away from the Lord and away from faith in God. And a lot of people do fall away after these moves, so-called. Well, it didn't work for me. I gave seed, and I didn't get the harvest. And then what happens is they get bitter, and they get mad at God. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants division. Keep your hearts towards the Lord. We are to endure to the end. Beware when everyone says Christianity's great, because it's not the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible says you're going to be persecuted. Oh, yay, rah, rah. But that's in there. So we must have, today you've got to have an encounter. And this is mysticism. This is Gnosticism. This is having an experience. And this is really, really important to the false moves. You've got to have something happen. You've got, and I'm telling you, when we were in these so-called revival moves in the 94s, people were picked up off their feet and thrown and struck. They couldn't even talk, and they were laughing, and everybody was laughing. I mean, we all thought that was supernatural signs and wonders, and there was a spirit behind it. You don't make it up. There's a spirit there, a spirit of truth or a spirit of error. Now I can point it out and I can see it, but I was in it. I was in it. And that's why I think we have to walk through it and help people now. What do we watch for? Now, the inner voices, anything God tells you, just do it. You know, how do you know that's God or not? Because there's emotionalism and people aren't being discipled correctly, so they don't know what the voice of the Lord is. They don't know what the Bible says. So if somebody that looks like a good leader takes them away into a false doctrine, well, it's got to be God. And that's how it always happens. Always happens. I don't know now if that holy laughter has kind of died out or not, if it's still going on. But, boy, that made its rounds. Now, the New Apostolic Reformation, what happens is these so-called prophets and all this stuff, people are shipwrecked. They're tossed to and fro by every wind, by every encounter, by every, oh, God's over here, God's over here. And people have a lot of zeal. They want God. And people are very sincere. I think people want the Lord. They do. They're tired. It's been a rough season. But on the other hand, what a perfect time for the enemy to slip in and try to deceive people. Now, you also need to know that this is global. This, what's going on, the enemy has a plan, and he is building up the harlot church, and we do not want to be a part of it. and this is one of the things they tell you. They warn you that if you are opposing this move of God or any move of God, they will say, you risk blaspheming the Holy Spirit. Well, we don't want to blasphemy the Holy Spirit, so we don't want to say anything against it. But that's why we have parameters. That's why we have boundaries. As parents, we have boundaries. Don't you think God's going to give us boundaries? Any Tom, Dick, Joe, Sally, Sue can come in and say God's changing the boundaries now? And that's what they're doing. Now they receive direct revelation from God in encounters. So if you want to be in on it, you got to follow them. You got to submit to them. And then they also, because of these direct revelations now, they have this new apostolic reformation has their own version of the Bible. It's called the Passion Translation, the TPT translation, where the apostle Brian Simmons says he was, God took him to heaven and gave him the keys to unlock the emotions of God's heart, which have been lost in modern translations. So what is all this about? Love, love. Remember I said last week they're going to use love against us. What is love? According to them, it's tolerance, accepting everything. So let's go into emotions for a second. So-called Christianity have shifted from reading the Bible, believing the Bible, and obeying it. It's simple, right? Being a Christian to believe the Bible, do what it says. There's a lot in there. And what it's now, it's an experience-based Gnostic false Christianity. Now it's got to be an experience. Because I get a lot of mail, they tell these leaders, you've got to have encounters now. This is what you've got to do. You've got to storytell. Don't bring a lot of scriptures into your sermons. Just tell stories. Get them excited. And the music is so exciting. The charismatic quacks. When I first got saved in 1975, I went to a church, and it was a little city church, or a little country church, and they did a sermon on beware of charismatic quacks. And I never listened to that warning. I should have. I've thought about that. So I've fallen for this myself, and that's why I want to be vulnerable and open, because there's a lot of people that will not be honest with you, and they're still in these movements where I've repented from it, and I had some of the best friends at that time on TBN all over. I was in the middle of it with them. A lot of times I don't like to mention their names because I'm not trying to cause them any harm. I'm not trying to gossip or anything, but I was in there with them. Now, the charismatic quacks brought a they brought in, it, and one of the guys that I used to listen to years ago said, if the Antichrist is ever going to come, he's going to come in the charismatic movement. Because the charismatic, they brought in the feel-good, ear-tickling, spiritual high experience movement. You got to feel good. You got to sing till you feel, everything is about your feelings. Now, feelings are good, but they can't control us. We like to feel good. We don't want to walk around depressed, but on the other hand, they aren't to lead us and they aren't to guide us, because you might not feel saved today. That doesn't mean you're not saved. You're going through a trial. You don't feel that God's with you, but that doesn't mean he's not. That's why he said the just walk by faith. It's faith in what he says because we can't feel him. So to condition us all to feel, oh, God's here, I feel him. Well, on one hand, yes, he's always there. If there's two or three together in his name, his presence is there. You don't have to drive 100 miles away to get his presence. Just get with another person and pray, and there he is. So it's not like you're trying to seek something you can never find, because this is like another carrot. Worship is all about experience now. Worship for sensual and emotional responses, like God's our lover. He's our hugger. We have this reckless love. And all these things are from false doctrine teachings, and we make it sound like he's romantic, like he's our lover. That's really sick. God's a spirit. They get us so emotional, we want to cry, we want to dance, we want to jump up and down, be romantic with God, he's hugging me now. You know, all these different things that they put into it. So we have to know, don't be manipulated by emotionalism. God will give us emotions, and they're good, but we also have bad emotions. And now with this positive faith movement, you can't ever confess that you're going through something, or people are hiding, they're going to the doctor, they're not telling anybody. It's turned into a bunch of liars, right? Because they can't confess anything negative. That's what's happened when false doctrine comes. You can't even be honest. Now, the big thing now is ecumenicalism. That's quite a name, or ecumenism. And this is what we're seeing now, and it has to come. I don't like it that it's here, but it's here because the harlot church has to come. The book of Revelation, it talks about the harlot church. It's coming out of the ocean like it's huge. It's a beast. And what is it? It's unity at any cost is their mantra. Unity, unity, unity. We all love Jesus. Let's do a group hug. Yeah, that's sad. And what it's really about is all breaking down barriers. Doesn't matter what you believe. We're all going to experience one world religion is what they want. This is what we're seeing, one world religion. And what does it have to do with all faiths mixed together? No sin being exposed. Tolerance, unity, and the beast. Tolerance, then unity, and the beast. In the Antichrist system. The emotions and feelings can't be our guide, and we can't just seek experiences. I remember going to these meetings, and we just wanted the laughter to hit. We just wanted to lay on our backs and just laugh for hours. We didn't care about the Bible at all. We just went for a good experience. And people thought you were nuts. They thought we were nuts. What are you into now? Well, you know, we don't care. We're in the glory. We're in another wave. You guys just don't have it. This is all part of the, there's so much, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. 1 Corinthians 15:3, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 2, it says, you're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, lest you believe in vain. So we have our anchor. Our anchor is in the Bible, not some guy coming with something new that God's doing, that things are changing now. The authority is away from the Bible and it's onto this new move. Unity is the mantra. Their goal in the global church of the world is to unify and to interfaith. Have you ever heard interfaith being talked about? Interfaith. God's call to the saints in 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Verse 14, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial, or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Oh, they hate this verse. Not come out. They said join. Join, join, join. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. So God is a holy God. Somewhere I heard, was it at the Grammys or something, they sang unholy. You're starting to see all of this stuff coming, absolute opposite of what the Bible is teaching. All of this filth and all of this stuff coming in. But he said, don't touch what is unclean and I will receive you. I will be a father to you and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In 2 John 1:9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine matters. What is doctrine? It's teachings. It's what the Bible says. They're saying today, unity matters. Doctrine does not matter. Well, according to God, doctrine matters. To have God and claim Christ, we must abide in the doctrine. Abide in the doctrine. And we need to endure till the end without the goosebumps. Beware when men speak well of you. Beware when Christianity is popular. Because we're moving into the new world religion. The new world religion will be interfaith, a mix of all of them. It's the call of the global church. This is what they say. The Christ awaits you. The Christ awaits you with open arms. Come willingly in the name of all your gods for the goal of peace and serve humanity. This is the interfaith movement. they say, this is part of their movement, and this is discard doctrines that divide or separate. The golden age now awaits you. So what do we see in the golden age? We see all these evangelicals coming together with political leaders. This is all part of it. They're going to have the religion and the politics become one. Now, an article here, the new Interfaith Center houses the UAE's first synagogue. The United Arab Emirates has opened a center housing a mosque, church, and the country's first official synagogue with the aim of promoting interfaith coexistence in the Muslim nation. With three houses of worship in the same place, the Abrahamic Family House, inaugurated on Thursday in the capital of Dubai, is the first of its kind. The center will be a platform for learning and dialogue, a model of coexistence. This is the future, shocking church. And this is what they're moving into. And it's slow, but it's tolerance, unity, and the mark of the beast. Can you handle just a little bit more? Unity, open up to other religions. What does this mean? Multiple paths to God. What did we talk about? The broad way, many paths. They all get to the same place, they say. It doesn't matter which path you're on, they all lead to the same place. Or universalism. Everyone is going to be saved no matter what religion they are in. It is a broad path. That's what they say. They are calling for an ecumenical world order. Let me say that again. They are calling for an ecumenical world order. Interfaith, all faiths come together. Mystery Babylon is being birthed right before our very eyes. Now, this is not new. It's been happening. And I want to share just a couple of things that you might not know. And I want to say, don't hold up any leader on a pedestal. Because if they're big, and they're really seen a lot. Most of the time they've been bought and paid for. And Mystery Babylon is being birthed before our eyes. The time to choose is closing. You've got to decide what side you're going to be on. If you're going to go on the narrow path, that doesn't mean you're religious and you're mean and you're ornery and you're legalistic and you're a Pharisee. It doesn't mean that's what they'll say that you are. But it means you're following the Lord and doing His will. You read the Bible, you believe the Bible, you obey the Bible, and you want to do God's will. It's so simple, we make it hard. In John 14:27, He says, "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives." Talking about peace we can have with God. As former enemies, we were sinners, but now we're reconciled through the blood of the cross. Colossians 1:20. Jeremiah spoke against the prophets of his day who said, "Peace, peace." Jeremiah 6:14, when there was no peace. Paul wrote of the future when they say peace and safety, when sudden destruction will come. 1 Thessalonians 5:3. Call today, the clarion call today is unity of the world and unity of religion. This is the false unity that will be headed by the Antichrist. If you want to read about that, Revelation chapter 17 and 18. The Bible condemns any type of unity which is not founded in God's truth. They're saying it's all peace, it's all love, so you have to know that there is a false teachings going around. The false gods of unity sacrifice eternal truth for tolerance. What do you think this tolerance movement is? To accept anything. More and more sins are going to come in legalized, which we've been warning for. One of the most prestigious, and I'm going to talk a little bit about ecumenical awards, which you might be surprised, and I'm not going to tell you a lot of them. You can go research this yourself. One of the most prestigious ecumenical awards is the John Marks Templeton Prize. Now, this is, remember, ecumenicalism is Catholic. I mean, it's the word you, some of these words you just, wow. It's a unity of all religions. And one of the guys, John Marks Templeton Prize, he offers $1 million for progress in religion. So you get $1 million if you're doing a good job at doing what? He quoted, listen to the Templeton Prize, "I am hoping to develop a body of knowledge about God that doesn't rely on ancient revelations or scripture." So you can say that this is an Antichrist award. The John Templeton Award, which has been given, I'm going to share with you a couple of the recipients of these awards. You're going to be surprised. This is what he says. Let me quote this again. "I'm hoping to develop a body of knowledge about God that doesn't rely on ancient revelations or scripture and the heart of true religion and the willingness to see truths in other religions. Broad as the carpet God has spread." Here he's saying broad as a carpet. Well, we just read that the way is narrow, right? Not according to the Templeton. "This is what the interfaith meetings are all about, as well as the World Council of Churches. Their catch cry is disregard differences for unity and peace. Norman Vincent Peale has called Templeton the greatest layman of the Christian church in our time." Well, if you know anything about Norman Vincent Peale and Robert Schuller, they were also a part of this ecumenical movement. "This is his tribute to a man who is an evolutionist, a pantheist," that means they believe in many gods, "and one who is anti-Christian. This is on the jacket of Discovering the Laws of Life in 1994. The first Templeton Prize was given to Mother Teresa in 1973, who believed in all faiths. Another one, pioneer of the charismatic renewal, because the charismatic renewal messed up the church. And I hate to say it, but I was a part of it. But this was given in 1976 by Leon, can't even read my own writing, Leon somebody or other. And the big one, Billy Graham. Billy Graham received in 1982. And if you don't believe it, go look it up. And also look up Billy Graham and the Pope and the documentaries on that. Well, he led a lot of people to the Lord. I didn't say he didn't. But he was also part of the ecumenical movement. And so were a lot of the friends that are in my that were in my life back these Well, not, since 2016, I just cut him off and I started to see things. Billy Graham received it in 1982. Bill Bright, Campus for Christ? 1996. Charles Colson. They all joined and endorsed Templeton's development of ecumenical religions. What? Templeton found he had to make inroads into the church. And we're going to close reading the same verse again. The enemy's been working hard to bring down the Christian. And I'm sad to say he's used a lot of people that we thought he would never use. What's your price? Matthew 7, verse 13. "Enter you at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I just want to say, if you're a pastor and you have a little church, just be encouraged. Don't even try to go around with these mega churches and what all they're doing. You're going to have to stand before God for what you're preaching. And if you have a faithful, and you're faithful and you have a few, hallelujah. Because it's not about the numbers. In fact, the more numbers you have, the more you have to watch out, because many are those that follow the broad path. Few that find it. "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits." What kind of fruits? What kind of fruits? Is it really leading people to the Lord and to the scriptures, or leading it to a man, to a ministry, to a church? This is the day we need to find out who our real friends are. You need to find people that are really sharing because there's shaking going on, and there's going to be more deception. There's another movie coming out. I think it's out now. This is all going to tie in, and I'm not quite sure. I don't want to say a whole lot about it yet because I'm just watching it. But because we've been in some of these movements, we know the corruption that happens after. There's a lot of agendas that are happening, and we are to be watchful. We are to be wise. And if you've lived through some of this, you know how heartbreaking it is when some of the people you thought were good were actually wolves in sheep's clothing. So that's why almost every book in the Bible tells us to not be deceived. And the great thing in the end times, the great things to watch out for in the end times is deception, deception, deception. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We so want to follow you. Do your will, not our will, but your will. And we thank you, Lord. This is a day that we need people that will proclaim truth, not just for popularity, but for eternity. And I pray for those that are, even in the movements we are of, that you still moved. People still got saved. We thank you for that. But we pray for the backslider, those that backslid after all these movements. They just lost heart. They lost their faith. We just pray, Father, for everyone that's listening, that we will endure to the end and we will stay on that narrow path in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen. If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison, and also her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2. Hit the bell button to be notified of new messages from her. Be sure to check out her YouTube playlist for other messages that interest you. Go to the livinginhispresence.org webpage and click on the top center to go see her messages. There are free audio downloads of the messages available also. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.